You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You know, it's been so inspirational and uplifting. Often when you go out to support your kind of kaupapa, you know it's what needs to be done. But I have to say, it's not only done out of a sense of commitment to our rights, but it was actually uplifted in a way that I haven't been in a long, long time, to see the solidarity and the mana mutuhake. You know, that was people living mana mutuhake. It was not a spirit of capitalism in the place. We were feeding. There were thousands being seen by the people of the whātau there, and all through koha and aroha and hard work and commitment and solidarity, and that gives me hope. That gives me hope for our entire sovereignty movement. When I see us, walking our dreams like that, so I found it really inspirational and uplifting and positive. You know, a lot of positivity as well, in the face of, you know, some clear intimidation. The presence of the police, and you know, I have to say, I think Jason Martel has been fantastically positive in the face of police intimidation, and you can see that the police are responding to that positivity as well. The police are responding to the positivity, and so they still have to follow their orders, and they will follow their orders, whatever those orders are. Whether those orders are to remain in place or to crack down, yes, be realistic, they will follow them, even the nice officers. So I quite, me, myself personally, and this is a personal statement, I still see that police presence as being quite intimidating upon the land, and it's very chilling to watch the sun go down over Tejun Mātau and see a line of police officers in uniform standing there stopping people from entering their own land. It's just such a timeless image of colonial force taking Tino Māori, that it's quite strange to see.
Mm.
And then when you compare that with the aroha and the manaakitanga and the positivity of the people who are making their stand, it's quite a stark.
And I'm ringing not to talk to you about this, I guess the future of this issue, because this fight is ongoing. People are still there today and the police are still there today, like you say. But I wanted to draw attention to that the longevity of this whawhai, like you've just said, that colonial presence. It's not a new one and it's not a new fight. So I guess maybe just speaking to, in the context of this going on, as well as our recent issues around Oranga Tamariki, which are not necessarily recent either, they've just sort of come more into the spotlight. But with there being the Hands Off Our Tamariki rally tomorrow, could you just speak to those different kaupapa and how they may be not so different?
Well, you know, taking our babies and taking our land comes from the same place. It comes from the same mindset. And it also comes from the same power structure, where one particular group feels entitled enough that they can take the land off another group, and that they can even take lives or exert force or take children from another group. So they come from the same place. And, you know, the story for this, I spoke at Tejun Mātau yesterday about how the story for this actually does not even belong. It just starts on these lands. The story of this experience of colonial theft actually exists in Europe back in the 1400s. And there were a series of laws that were delivered out to the kings and queens of Europe. And one of those early laws that became part of what's known now as the Doctrine of Discovery was actually for West Africa, and it was against the Muslim group called them the Saracens, giving the right to the kings and queens of Europe to send people out to enslave and capture and kill the Muslims in the south of West Africa, and that is what began the West African slave trade. And then after that came a series, another two papal laws, that broadened that scope out to what they call the New World and enabled people to go out and, again, take land and take lives. And they did that with women, with children, with babies, this wasn't just you're able to do this, this is your good Christian duty to carry these tasks out. So this is from the 1400s, the late 1400s, that these laws dated, what they called, what some people call the age of discovery, what others call the age of imperialism, and what can also be seen as the age of genocide. And certainly imperialism and genocide never really went away. And the entitlement that was fostered, the psyche of entitlement that was fostered from living with these laws over hundreds of years, particularly for those European nations, still survives today. And that's why we see ourselves, this included, obviously, this also included the ability for the British monarch to send James Cook out to discover land and claim land for them, which is what he did here. And so that really is the where the story begins, that we see manifesting as even Marcel today. It's so important to understand our history if we are genuine about wanting to reconstruct or construct a system of justice. We must understand the underpinnings of the system of injustice that we currently labour under. And that stretches that far. And so those things, now manifest in many different flashpoints in our history. And Hands Off Our Tamariki is another really important flashpoint when we say no. And that is legally under international doctrine, legally described as form of genocide. So the genocide is still ongoing through the death of our children. And we are saying no to that now. And of course the land theft, as I described before, is a classic land theft act. And so all of these things are still ongoing, and it's rooted in this idea of imperial entitlement that comes from the doctrine of the Christ.
These are both sort of present day acts of colonization, is what you're saying, and how is it that we can get people that may not understand that to understand that these are very linked kaupapa?
Well, we have to be clear that the acts of colonial violence, if you go up to Fiji Marthal, for instance, you'll see that there are many pakeke there are many mana whenua there. The whānau who live around Fiji Marthal, those houses are opening their front yards for people to park in because they're seeing people that have shown up. They're welcoming them, they're thanking them. There's pakeke there, there's kaumātua there that are local and mana whenua. But there are also many other people for whom this resonates with. And I think increasingly people are starting to understand that this is not just about them. We're living in a age of global injustice, climate crisis, polluted oceans, and I think increasingly people are seeing that these kinds of policies, these kinds of laws impact Indigenous people first and worst, but they certainly don't stop with us. They impact a lot of other people as well. And so it's that same colonial mentality that is driving these corporations, for instance, to rob our future generations of their ability to live on this planet. It's the same corporate and imperial mentality that is ruining our freshwater systems and taking away the ability to swim in clean water for all of our generations, Māori, Mai, Pākehā Mai. And so I think increasingly people are understanding that, that this colonial imperial mentality does not benefit any of us in the long run, and that Indigenous people have had the longest running, most severe experience on the knife edge of colonialism. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think, you know, when we talk about that, when we talk about, you know, this shared experience of the colonial mentality, especially at the hands of climate change and polluted waters, the stolen waters, and we look at the way in which Indigenous peoples have maintained incredible resilience to even survive the onslaught of genocide for so long, and to carry forth the practices that have protected so much of this world's biodiversity and protected so much of this world's, you know, carbon sequestered in our forests and looked after our waters and literally put our lives on the line. You know, I had a report in this morning of another Indigenous land protector being murdered in Brazil by miners. You know, it's chilling. It's particularly what's happening in Brazil. You know, you have Bolsonaro in charge of the world's largest carbon sink. Our largest, you know, continued hope for our climate is at the hands of a man who has absolutely no regard for Indigenous lives and no regard for the climate crisis. And that is chilling. And that is something that we all need to be really worried and concerned about and affected in, mm-hmm. because the impact of losing that carbon sink will fall upon all of our heads. You know, what I'm saying, I guess, is even though it's impacting us first and worst, it's not going to stop with us. And that discussion and the line of discourse that I think helps other people to understand the value of the people.
And so what are you hoping comes out of the rally, Our Pōpō?
Oh, look, I think, you know, they really need to, the Labour Party, there's a few things, you know, I'll just talk about it politically in the first thing. The Labour Party really did skate in on the Māori seat last election, and they have a very slick optic around being a kind government. And so I really hope that the show of people around this very sensitive human rights issue. This is a human rights issue. It's not a small issue. This is just about genocide. So I hope the government opens their ears and realises what's at stake for them politically, that you have these flashpoints happening all around the nation right now in relation to our children, in relation to their land. And they realise that, I mean, no secret, I'm not a huge fan of this government structure, and I think they tend to respond more to what's going to keep them in power rather than any kind of altruistic motives. It's certainly what took them, that's what took it to the space where they would respond to Tēnu Mātou.
Mm.
So it's proven us right in that sense. But, so I hope that at least that will awaken them to what's actually going on there. I want them to acknowledge that they are and have been and are continuing to be complicit in acts of genocide upon our people. They need to understand technically, legally, factually, there is no getting away from that. If they understand that there is an excessive use of a flawed system that is extracting Māori children from Māori homes and communities and out of their culture as well, then there's not really much to get away from the fact that they're and that they need to do some work to be accountable for that. Māori are very clear that we are ready and able and capable to take the reins of looking after ourselves, looking after our whānau, placing our children in the safest place possible, and making sure that our own, that, you know, I have to say, I often think about this in relation to the way in which the empire makes it unsafe for whānau to stay in their own home, and then you wind up with a refugee or immigrant family who are forced to leave their homes, and then they make them the problem.
Mm.
The problem is actually that they have a right to stay. They have a right to stay in a safe home. They have a right for that home to remain safe. And so the empire, the crown, the government, they need to take accountability for what it is that they're doing to make homes unsafe as well, and look at this as a right to stay in a safe home. And then where homes are unsafe, we as Māori have a right to determine what safety looks like and where those nests, kupuna need to be for those children to stay. So those are just some of the things that I would hope, that I would expect to come out of a kind government as they purport themselves to be. I absolutely support the standards being made by hands of our community.
I guess to wrap it up, I suppose, and bring it back to this year, we've sort of talked about Cook, but this idea that it's been 250 years since Cook came, and that there are celebrations around the country for this. What could people be doing this year to sort of increase their awareness of the effects of that arrival?
Yeah, I think possibly the most important story to tell this year. And this is a difficult thing to say because it's always important for Māori to tell our own stories and celebrate our own heroes. But if we're looking at this year being the anniversary of Cook's invasion, then the more important story to be reflecting on in terms of outcomes this year is that of imperial expansion. And so I think the best thing for people to do is to take a step back from the stories that are being told and look at the connections between so many of those stories. It's very common for the colonisers to try and individualise the stories. This is what happened in Gisborne. This is what happened in Mercury Bay. This is what happened in Tūtaranui. And so, but what we need to do is take a step back and look at those stories so that you can see that they barely went anywhere. Barely went anywhere without shooting at or killing our people. And that is, if you take another step back, that's also the case across the Pacific. You barely went anywhere in the Pacific without killing or torturing or abducting our people. And so what we see today in terms of the land theft that was done by Cook every time he claimed land on behalf of the Queen without consent, and every time there is an abduction of a child out of a home that was carried out by Captain Cook when he arrived, when he went around the Pacific abducting people as he went. And so all of those instances that we're talking about today, that is the inception of when that came to our land back then. And that's the inception of when it came to the Pacific as well. This is not, those instances were not individual, they were actually his MO as he travelled around the Pacific. And it's not even specific to the Pacific either, or to Cook. This is a template of imperial expansion that has happened around the world. And if we aren't able to call that out for what it is and speak truth as the first step on a pathway to justice, we're going to be struggling to face and overcome any of these other issues that are related to imperialism, like climate change and sick oceans.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.